Hi guys. Wow, this is exciting. Convention for me way back when we were in Gettysburg changed my life. Changed my life. Being with my fellow OAs and recognizing who I was and that I was not alone and that for once in my life I had companions to travel with. Just has changed everything in my world. So it's an honor to be your workshop leader today. I'm going to qualify for about 25 minutes and then we have a writing exercise and then we're going to share on the writing exercise. So I was struggling with the theme because obviously when you've lost 100 pounds and actually I've lost 125, the theme is probably, wow, you lost 125 pounds. But that's not really what the focus of my journey has been on. So as I was trying to drill that down and think about it, I thought, for me, my journey has been strong abstinence. So we're going to talk today about strong abstinence and how I got there and maybe some sharing on that. So let me qualify a little. I did bring some pictures and I believe I can screen share. I'm gonna rely on my hosts to help me figure out how to do that. Guys, do you know how that gets turned over to me? Oh yeah, here it is. I see it. So I wonder if what I have to do is pull the pictures up on my computer first. So I'm going to do that while I talk to you. I am so technologically challenged, although the funny thing is, living in COVID times, we're getting pretty darn good at all this stuff. Last night when I was putting together my last thoughts and my pictures, I felt strongly that sharing some of my history with you was probably the best way that I could show you a little bit of where I've been and where I'm at, and I still have a little bit to go. So, this journey is it's an imperfect perfect journey. That's how I look at it. I like to tell people I came into these rooms spiritually bankrupt, and as a result of that bankruptcy, I really had a lot of struggling going on in my life because I had to find a higher power first. And so I came into the rooms in 2010. And so 10 years. And when I first got here, I thought to myself, well, I'll never get to abstinence. How is that going to happen? And then I read the first three steps and I was like, oh yeah, this is easy. I can do this. So I'm sharing on my screen right now a picture of me. This was about 4 years ago with my granddaughter. And I weighed about 350 pounds. I don't know if y'all can see that because I'm so new with this. Is it working? Yeah, I
I
got
can
a
see
thumbs
it.
up. All right, so that was me. And in the essence of not getting bogged down in pictures, I'm going to just show you one more picture if I can find it. Boy, oh boy, guys, you can't imagine. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, this one will make you smile. I'm going to show you two because this one made me smile. My sponsor likes to call me Wonder Woman. So, this is actually a picture of me, Halloween a week ago. About as recent as it gets, right? I did that for my sponsor and I let her know that when I did it. I said, first of all, I picked this costume right off the rack. Not one thing on here is anything plus size. I actually went to the Halloween store and I bought some stockings and the Halloween store stockings have never fit me before and wow, these fit. So I was so proud of myself. That was a week ago. And so I have one more a very current picture from yesterday that I thought I would share with you guys so that you can see what I really look like right now. I think the full visual is important. So this is what I call warts and all. So yeah, for the first time in my life, I am under 200 pounds. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. So now we're going to talk a little bit about how I got there, because everything in life is always subject to what we do and what we put in, what efforts we put into it. And it wasn't long before I got into the program and started working my first round of steps that I realized I was stuck on step three. I was stuck there a long time. I'm having a hard time getting my screen to go back now that I shared that. So I got to apologize, guys, but I'm clicking and doing everything I can, and I can't see you guys. It's weird. Ah, sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. I hate it when this happens.
I think depending on your device, if you're near the top of your screen, there should be a little red thing which says stop screen sharing.
Ah, and suddenly you're all back. Hi, guys. You don't know how good it feels to see you. Looking at myself is not my favorite thing, although, you know, obviously we need to do that. That's part of our reality and our acceptance of who we are. All right. So along my journey, I came to realize that I was addicted to sugar. And I'm going to tell you that in childhood, I was what they call a failure to thrive baby. So failure to thrive baby meant that everything I ate, I threw up. And that went on for a good 6 months before a doctor finally said to my parents, listen, you know, bottles and breast milk aren't enough. You've got to supplement that. And my parents started supplementing that with ice cream. So I grew up drinking milkshakes and eating ice cream. And there isn't any doubt I had a serious sugar addiction from birth. And I didn't want to admit that or accept that, because my journey in life has been that my weight has been, you know, under control at many, many times in my life without a lot of dieting. But I'm going to confess that I was an overexerciser as well. And it never really occurred to me that my way of metabolizing all of that sugar was just to work out and work out and work out. But I can tell you that prior to 10 years ago, when I started packing on the pounds, I was in the gym a minimum of 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. So most of my friends were bodybuilders. I was not a bodybuilder, but I would work right alongside of them. In fact, I was the cardio trainer for a woman who has a master's card, if that gives you an idea of how much I exercised. So I was compulsive in everything. That's my bottom line. And as I began to drill down in our program, steps 1, 2, and 3, one of the things that I realized was that I really had never trusted anybody or anything. And I could think back to when I was in college and we used to do those trust exercises. And one of the trust exercises was that we would all stand in a circle and we would lean backwards, and the group was supposed to catch us as we would fall. And everybody in my class nailed it. And I couldn't even do it. I couldn't even trust the group to catch me. And so I can remember, you know, as far back as my college years, and I'm sure even before that, but nobody had ever tested that, that my level of trust in anybody or anything other than myself was non-existent. So my journey here in this room and in these rooms and in my OA program every day is to be open and to trust. So it's funny, but you know, when I signed up to do the workshop, I had signed up for a different one, and then the message came back and said, well, we have an opening in the 100 pounder and we'd love it if you would do that. And you know, rather than argue, I said, nope, I know that's exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I took this on, and that's sort of what's happened in my life. Things that I used to be held up on or hung up on or stuck on. I have come to accept that for today, I'm exactly where my higher power wants me to be. And I'm doing exactly what my higher power wants me to do. And I just have to do it. So like Nike, I do it. So compulsive overeating for me definitely revolved around sugar and sweet things. And it also revolved around my reaction to alcoholics, addicts, and addiction in general. So it's sort of an interesting thing because for me, what ended up happening was I met a guy that I was crazy about. And boy, it's scary to see a big full-size screen of your face, but here I am, guys. So anyway, for me, I met him and all of a sudden I realized that I was like eating and I couldn't stop. And I had stopped going to the gym. And actually that was my entire reaction to the situation that I was in. He became my higher power. And it took my sponsor in this program who was brave enough to say to me, you know, well, Gail, I see fill in the blank has become your higher power for me to understand that our higher power doesn't necessarily have to be God as some of us see God. And I do see God as my higher power these days. But back in that day, whatever he said, I did. Whatever he ate, I ate. Whatever he wanted to do, we did. And I followed blindly and the weight was pouring on. And I remember going to work one day and I was in one of the pay and weigh programs at the time, you know, valiantly struggling and not getting anywhere. In fact, I was gaining weight and paying money to watch myself gain weight. So and feeling so hopeless and helpless. And every time I went to those meetings, they had a table and the table had all this like food you could buy. And it was like always on sale. And that also appeals to me. Over shopping is one of my favorite things to do. So I would go in there and things are on sale. And I was like, oh, I got to buy these. I love them. And I would buy boxes and boxes and I would take them to work and I would pour them into my bottom drawer. And it was one of those large vial drawers, you know. My drawer was full of junk every week and all week long as I sat at my desk, I ate that junk all day long. I wouldn't even notice I was eating it. I would just be sticking my hand in there, grabbing something, eating it, and working and working and working. So on an interesting side note, my OA group was running an ad in the local newspaper. And it just said Overeaters Anonymous came to believe meeting Wednesday 6 p.m. at the Epworth United Methodist Church. And I kept seeing that in the paper and I kept thinking, you know, I should go and find out what that is. So I got in my car after work one day and it was like 5:45 and I just drove there and I pulled into the parking lot and went in and that was my first meeting and I was not quite 350 pounds yet. I was about 260 pounds. I gained weight in this program. I've been in the program 10 years. I could not find abstinence from sugar until 5 years ago. And there isn't any doubt that I am a sugar addict because without eating sugar, I can eat pretty much anything I want to eat as long as I stick within my meal plans, my three meals a day and my snack. But sugar is absolutely taboo. And I know that. And I just want to like call your attention to something that really helps me because it was hard to get off sugar. And why did I get off sugar? It wasn't really OA. In fact, there were members in the rooms who kept talking about getting abstinent from sugar and flour, white substances they talked about. And I would sit there and listen and I'd think, well, that's for them, not for me. I can do this. I can still have my cake and eat it too. And I gave that my best shot for a couple of years. And then my son became a heroin addict and went through recovery and I went through recovery with him. And I can't even tell you how proud I am, because he's got some strong abstinence these days. And you know, to live in a house where two of us have strong abstinence from our substances of choice is just, it's just such an amazing thing. And for a mother to watch her son get healthy is a big deal. But he started coming home from the clinic with bags of candy. And I said to him one day, so what's all this candy about? And he said to me, well, Ma, they tell me to take this because this is better for me than what I was doing. And a light went off in my head. And I said, oh my God, Gail, sugar is your heroin. And you are a heroin junkie, only it's sugar. And you're like, you know, telling him he's got to get off the stuff. You got to get off the stuff. Well, this was the hardest thing I ever did, guys. And this little booklet came out, and I started having to work it regularly. Don't know if you can read it on your screens, but it's the Before You Take That First Compulsive Bite, Remember pamphlet. And I can't say enough good about it, because everything that I had learned in the program already was in this little flyer. But when you're going through active withdrawal from your substance of choice, you need constant reminders. And you know, our program is designed for us to do that. If you look at the tools of recovery, we have everything we need. We have meetings, we have reading, we have writing, we have sponsor, we have sponsees, we have phone calls to be able to make. Most importantly, though, is our relationship with our higher power and our ability to be honest with ourselves. So I like number one, and it really did change my life. Cultivate the continued acceptance of the fact that your choice is between unhappy eating binges and doing without just one small compulsive bite. And that's where I was. Every time I would look at something that was my drug of choice and want it, I would say to myself, you know, that one bite is going to put me right back where I was. And I battled it, guys, and I still battle it to this day. I'd be lying if I didn't say so. It was Halloween. I made sure that I did not buy any sweet stuff. And what you see on that table, that was a church trunk or treat event. And all I had to do was show up in a costume, and the church provided all of the sweet stuff, and I just gave it all away. And at the end of when it was done, there were a few pieces left in my bucket. I went right over to the family next to me, poured it into their bucket, and, you know, wished them well. And they were all excited. You know, they had young kids. Oh, goody, extra sweet stuff. And I walked away abstinent. And that's not easy. And I couldn't have done that a couple of years ago, but I can do that now. And this pamphlet was a life changer for those of you who are struggling with compulsive food behaviors. Please pick it up and read it. It's a great one. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, what began to happen for me 5 years ago was I hit a bottom. My higher power, my guy that I love, walked out the door. And I was alone. And I was facing myself for the first time in my life. And I had to ask myself some hard questions about who I was, where I wanted to be, and how I wanted to project myself. Guys, I'm 61 years old. I had been working as a property manager for a property management company. And I thought I was like set. You know, I thought, well, I'll glide this out to retirement. It doesn't matter. They don't care what I look like, you know, and I'm in program, and maybe the miracle is going to happen. I love that line, guys, wait for the miracle to happen, because I kept going. That's what you need to know. I kept going to every meeting. In fact, at one point, my meeting closed down. Nobody showed up for a couple of months. We had decided to change location, and the location was not a good location. So we decided to, you know, move back to the other location. But it was a couple of months between that, where I would sit in the parking lot and nobody else came, and I would sit there and I would read OA literature and believe that other people needed an evening meeting like I did, because I had to go to work every day. And there was no way I could do live meetings during the day. So I do want to give a shout out to the phone meetings, because every day I started listening to the 12 o'clock and the 1 o'clock meetings, just listening to them in my earpiece as I was working. And for the first couple of years where I was really working to get abstinent on sugar, those meetings saved my life, because as I was on the phone, I was not sticking my hand in that bag and eating sweet things. So it's a combination for me of both phone meetings and, you know, now here we are in the COVID world and it's the Zoom meetings. And, shortly after our meeting had to close down, I opened a Zoom account because I thought, oh my gosh, we've got to have a meeting. And I sort of, you know, led all of my friends that are in my meeting into my Zoom account, and we started meeting informally. And maybe a month after that, I went to the facility and I picked up all of our literature, and we've
been 5 minutes
holding our meetings on Zoom ever since. So I can't say enough about meetings, and I can't say enough about my abstinence. And I have to say that the clarity and the focus that I got after that fall 5 years ago has caused a lot of change in my life. And first, I had to begin to deal with my addiction to sugar and flour. The second thing that had to happen for me was I had to take a hard look at where I was, because I actually got my company got bought out, and I was left on my own. And that was not a good feeling, not even a little bit. And I was going to unemployment, and they were saying, you know what, you're unemployable. And I was like, what? And they were like, you know, you're too old, you're overeducated, you have too much experience, nobody will ever hire you. So I started my own company. How cool is that? It's 2 years in existence now, and it's very successful through this entire COVID thing. My company has been flourishing. Thank you, God, for helping me flourish in my body, flourish in my spirit. And by the way, this time my higher power, my guy, kept coming back. I kept letting him back. I don't know why, but not that long ago, 4 months ago, I sent him out the door, and he ain't coming back this time. I've come to value myself through my efforts in this program, and to understand that that I don't need to be in addictive, compulsive relationships. What I do need to do is focus on myself. I've still got a few more years of working, guys. So, you know, I'm going to keep my company running, and I'm going to keep myself healthy and happy. And I know I'm only going to be able to do that by the grace of God. These meetings, the opportunity to do service in these meetings, I can't say enough about service. Anytime anybody ever says to me, Gail, can you, I know my buddy Leslie's out there, and she'll tell you that people call me all the time and say, Gail, will you? And of course, I'm like, yes, you know, no matter what else is going on in my life, this is the most important thing. Because without this program, without the time that I spend here, I'd be lost, and I wouldn't be standing here telling you about my weight loss. And you know, it's not the weight loss, it's the spiritual, the emotional weight that I've lost that has really given me the freedom to move forward. And once I was able to work my way through a traumatic childhood, lots of baggage, the diet roller coaster, the compulsive obsessive behaviors, I was able to move myself into a place where I found stability for the first time in all 61 years of my life. So thank you, guys. So grateful to get to share my story with you.